Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by our SewHere.com members. This podcast and our community is mostly funded by the support of listeners like you. If you love the podcast, check out SewHere.com/membership to see how you can keep it in your ears for years to come and get fun stuff to boot.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to describe a tutorial for you that we already have a video for.
Okay, listen to my voice. Does it sound raspy or are my ears plugged up?
I don't know.
Oh. I haven't been out late or anything.
All of the weather and everything, just yeah. I can't hear anything. I can't smell. I can't
talk. We're on the
talk.
We're on the, well, yesterday was the first day of spring.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, thank goodness, because we had the most, this is the year 2018, in case anybody's
listening. It's 2019.
Oh, it's 2019. See, I want to forget to, I've blacked it out. It's 2019, in case anybody listens to this, like, you know, 50 years from now or something. But we just had the most gloomiest, wettest, ridiculous winter.
Yes, we did.
And
a lot of people did. The weather's all messed up.
And I'm real glad we're tilted, that the northern hemisphere is tilted towards the sun right now.
Okay, so we're going to describe a tutorial for you here. And I think this is nice because sometimes our various channels, I don't think I've got them melded together the way I should. So this is a YouTube video that we've got about this sheer serger scarf, and it's National Serger Month.
That's right.
That's being released in April. So that's fabulous. And this is a really quick gift. I think it would be great. Also, I think we would often do it around Mother's Day at the shop, or we would do it in April so that people could have a, in wedding season.
The thing about it is it's a scarf. It's a wrap, really.
Yeah, kind of.
Like a shawl, mm-hmm. or a wrap, or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I did want to, maybe I should just address that right here. We've made it out of a chiffon fabric on the tutorial. And, you know, certainly you could take this idea, okay, and, you know, adjust it for a heavier fabric or do it a little bit differently or whatever.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. It's basically a rectangle.
It's a rectangle,
it's
right.
It's got a hole somewhere mm-hmm. in it to put your head through. And actually, a lot of people wear or keep these on hand as nursing covers. And
yes.
They're made out of knit. They're
yes.
made out of some kind of thin, stretchy fabric right. that's not too hot. And it can be a nursing cover up as well. It
right.
can be a shawl. I show it, like, not over my shoulders.
And there's photos of Mal, like, in it, you know, several different ways. But another thing that I like it for is, like, traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I'm in the front seat and, you know, my husband's got the air conditioning blowing and I don't really want to have, like, a coat on or anything.
It's a wearable blanket.
So it's like a little blanket or something. And it's great for an airplane.
Yes.
And it's really great for the airplane. You know, my airplane outfit is, like, the black T-shirt with the black leggings
mm-hmm.
so that when I get off, I can, like, put on a, you know, a jacket or something, and I look like I'm dressed. But
yeah,
it's great. You know, you can use it to add color. It's really good for, like, those summer things where you're wearing, like, something sleeveless or a sundress, and then you go into a restaurant that's cold, and this can go over your shoulders. It's just really, really applicable. And when you make it, it will fit anyone.
Yeah.
This is, like, one of those no-size gifts. Right.
And I feel like we're, you know, where we were coming from with this, you know, is very much of sort of a stereotypical, like, women's garment and stuff, but I just picture some of our fabulous friends like James making this and rocking it. So
James does not let any imaginary boundary stop him with anything.
So I just want to say that for all our, you know, non-binary folks, right, or if you like to gender bend with your clothing, this is a really cool way to do it.
And I say there's no sizing. Now, you could actually make this for a small child, and of course, then you would want to think about this.
Make it shorter.
It would need to be a smaller rectangle started out or whatever. But it's also good, it takes about 2 yards of fabric for an adult, say. Yeah. So sometimes you have 2 yards of fabric. You don't even want to cut up. You just like the fabric.
Yes, it shows
And this
off
shows fabric off. So border print or whatever. It really does show it off.
So, yeah, if you are going to make it as a gift, these measurements are pretty universal. Yeah. We have people make them who are all shapes, sizes, heights.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe you'd want to customize a bit for yourself at some points. But if you're going to make it for a gift, it's pretty straightforward.
It really is.
You can use our
measurements. And like I said, I honestly, just if it was only because you needed it for those restaurants during the summer when you go in the air conditioning to cover your shoulders and not freeze to death.
Right.
It's like the perfect thing, and it's easy to travel with.
So let's talk about choosing fabric. So we used a chiffon, just like a polyester chiffon, and it was a border print, so that was kind of fun.
Right.
You can, you could use some dot sequin. I see some dot sequin over there.
Maybe someone did that one time in like a show choir kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe someone one time put some Malibu feathers on the bottom of one.
Malibu.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for correcting me.
You're welcome.
That's
it's
why
2019
you're here.
And it's Malibu.
Oh my gosh. I was quite ill last week. I have an excuse. I have a chronic illness. And sometimes my brain cells slow down.
No, there's an episode where I get the year wrong too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
We could have just pretended like we were way ahead on content.
Well, or you would have looked like Malibu Barbie, so you put Malibu feathers
there
on.
There you go. Burnout velvet.
So super fun. Open weaves.
Yeah, I used a crepe for one of them.
Uh-huh.
And actually,
lace.
It was a little too short. So when we say to use two, I made one that was shorter, and it just doesn't quite lay right.
Yeah, you need a drape. You like something that does drape. You don't really want to stiff it. Like, I have never made one, like, out of a cotton, like a quilting cotton.
Right.
It would have to be, like, a lawn or something.
No.
Double
gauze?
Double gauze would
People
work.
People love that lately.
Anything that's open weave.
Amy, you can make it out of your, what did she get? I don't know. Amy, and the lady said you have to line it. Lawn.
As long as it's not stiff. I don't think you want it too stiff.
Okay, so you get 2 yards of this fabric. And most garment sewing fabrics are 60 inches wide.
Right.
Even if you're
nowadays.
Yeah. If you're at 54, okay.
Yeah.
You can probably go a little shorter, but when you get to those like 45 inch lengths, that gets a little.
Well, I think what it is you want 30 inches.
Yes.
From a selvage edge.
Yes, that's right.
That's what you want.
30 inches
probably,
from a selvage edge.
At least.
So
this is how it's going to hang on you. It's going to hang on you from a cut edge to a selvage edge,
that's
basically.
Right. The cut edge is up at your neck, and then the selvage edge is like that hem. So that's why a border print can be fun. So if you get some garment sewing fabric, great. And we just cut our 60-inch fabric in half. Okay.
Right.
So lengthwise. So
then you get 2 scarves.
That's right.
So you can get 2 scarves out of 2 yards. So you only need 1 yard, but it has to be 2 running yards.
Yeah. And seaming it together, that we got this question.
I have seamed it.
Yeah, you can seam
it. You can seam it.
But it's not quite as pretty.
Right, because the whole idea is that one side doesn't have a seam, and it's the drape it has.
And so we used to sell a kit for this because we had this fabric, and so I cut up a bunch of these.
Yeah, it's all gone. Now I see that fabric. I want it back.
They're all gone, yeah. So you get your 2 yards of chiffon or whatever, burnout velvet, blah, blah, blah. And you cut it up lengthwise, so what you have is a 72-inch long piece of fabric that's 30 inches wide, or thereabouts, okay? And then what you do is you fold it in half, your short ends together.
It's your short cut ends that are perpendicular to your selvage.
That's right. And then you, from your halfway, from your fold mark there, you're going to measure 15 inches, okay? You're going to go toward that those two cut edges that you put together. And you're going to place two pins. And you don't pin the fabric together.
Or clips or marks. Marking the fabric at
right.
Basically, you're taking 30 inches out of the middle edge of this fabric.
And so you're marking those. And what that is it's your neck, your head opening, your neck opening. And that 15 inches, like we said, people's heads don't really range in size a ton. Okay. A 30 inch opening is going to go over anybody's head.
An adult head is rarely, rarely over 23 inches in circumference. If you can find one that's 24, that's a big head.
Yeah. Even people who you're like, oh, they have a small head or they have a big
head. Most are like 20 to 22 inches.
Yeah. When you actually measure. So that's why we're saying, hey, this is pretty standard. So you get those two.
Because you could have some big hair.
I was going to say that. So if you have some kind of special.
James, if you get some big hair.
Somebody's like, wearing some Marie Antoinette wig or something like that.
You know, it could be drag night.
That's right.
Whatever.
Or you put this on before you put on your wig. I don't know. But there we go.
Speaking of wigs, do I have my good one on today?
Do you have your good wig on? I just shared the video. I forgot what video it was that the person made that comment, and it was the jeans darning
video. Oh, jeans darning.
So I shared it because it was jeans month, and Rachel goes, that's where the bad wig comment
was. Yeah, there's a comment that says, bad wig mom.
Yeah, we told them.
Yeah, I know, but I'm telling you again. Okay. I love to tell people about my bad wig because it wasn't a wig. I would buy good wigs.
That's right.
Actually, I just bought Amazon hair, so never mind.
Okay, moving on. So you got your neck opening marked, and then what you're going to do is, we didn't mention this really at the beginning of the podcast, you're going to construct this whole thing with a rolled edge on your serger. So before you go and dive into your scarf, let's take a quick break and talk about how to select your stitch, what thread to use, and how to test to make sure it's working. Hello there, you fabulous sewing machine. Did you know that our podcasts and Facebook group are mostly funded by our fabulous members? We have corporate sponsors, but our individual members are the people who ensure that we can keep producing our quirky, inclusive, sometimes slightly offbeat sewing media.
You can support the sewing media you love starting at $1.50 per month. As you go up the scale, you get perks like a universal wardrobe planner, the Sew Long and Sew Happy zine, access to patterns and discounted classes, and even a monthly live broadcast from Mallory and me.
We are so thankful for our past, present, and future members. Any level of membership is helpful toward producing our podcasts, videos, and the time it takes to moderate our growing Facebook community. Go to sewhere.com/membership to check it out.
Sewing out loud. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
All right, and we're back. So we're going to use our serger. On the YouTube video for this, if you look at the comments, everybody's like, do you have to use the baby lock
right,
serger?
Right, now it is. Okay, it is very baby lock specific as far as like how you're demoing and you're saying, you know, the baby lock does this and the baby. But obviously, if you have a serger and you know how to set a rolled hem, you can do this. And what does ZD say?
Test
your stitch. That's what it's all about.
So we're using a 3-thread rolled edge. And the reason we can use this to like finish and seam the scarf, right, is because there's not a lot of stress on it.
There's not a lot of stress. And this is light fabric. That's why I said if you're using a heavier fabric, or you're going to have to alter how you do this.
Yeah,
you're going to have to change the way you do this.
You can change up the construction, which would not be that difficult at all. Okay, so when you are doing a rolled edge on your serger, you want to test and make sure that everything's looking good. And what I highlight in the video is on a baby lock serger, when you put your settings in for a rolled edge, you're going to get your rolled edge like that. Okay, I snapped. I don't know if you can hear it.
But... snapped.
I snapped.
I don't think I can snap. I think my hands are too dry.
Anyway.
Oh, no, there.
Thank you.
Here.
Mom,
yes, Mallory, yes.
Okay. If anyone complains about me talking over you, that's why I talk over you sometimes.
Because she's embarrassed of me.
You're snapping into the microphone.
She's embarrassed of me.
Okay, and if anybody complains about ZD hitting the microphone while snapping.
Okay. What else, what other reason is there to live for other than to embarrass your children?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the major things, yes.
Okay, well, I bet you're living
a very... It's something that keeps you going as you age.
You're living a very fulfilling life, right?
Because, yes, I'm doing my best. I have three children to torture.
Okay, so you've got your rolled edge. And when I test out my stitch, on the video, really the only thing I have to mess with is the length of the stitch. And there are all these recommendations, of course, on your quick reference guide for your baby lock. And I always recommend, put those in
first.
Put those in first.
Try the recommendations first.
But on a rolled edge, they vary... intelligently give you this range.
A big range, yeah.
It says 0.75 to 4
to 4 or something, yeah.
I mean, that's the full range.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
Right.
And because a rolled edge is going to look different in so many fabrics, on different fabrics.
Different on your fabric, different with your thread.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about a rolled edge. You can make a rolled edge stiff, or you can make it very supple and pliable. So depending on how close it is together or how far apart. And then the other thing, of course, is those pokies.
Yeah.
And this is a technical term.
Yes, pokies is a technical term.
It's a technical term used with serging. And if you're trying to cover or, what we call burnish the edge, right, to make it nice and smooth, we don't want pokies. And pokies are those little threads. Right, that have been cut, and they're poking through where, the thread that you're applying has not covered well.
Yeah, so I show in the video on the chiffon doing it at 2, so that's like kind of right in the middle, so a 2-millimeter length, and that looks really nice.
For some reason, 2, 2.5 always seems to do the trick for me.
Seems like a good place to start.
And you're using embroidery thread.
That's right,
because you wanted it. You're using it sort of in a decorative sense and lightweight.
So
there's two reasons.
It's machine embroidery thread.
Right.
So very smooth, kind of shiny, lightweight.
It's polyester.
Polyester. Comes in lots of colors. We love to put those in our serger for this reason.
Right.
Okay. So
the other thing, too, is usually people who have embroidery machines have colors, like this
range of colors
that you don't always have in your
construction thread
or your serger thread. So, the embroidery thread is easy to match.
Yeah, so if you're hemming a dress or whatever, and it's lightweight like this, we oftentimes will say, hey, rolled edge with embroidery thread.
Polyester embroidery thread.
Yes.
Like silk or rayon is not as strong.
Okay, so... we're getting that added benefit, And so I just want to say I chose the 2 first and it looks really nice. I do a 1-millimeter length on that in the video.
Uh-huh.
And you can see that stiffness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about maybe for some other project.
Oh, yeah.
That could have been appropriate.
Oh, no.
Right?
There might be some. Yes. Yes.
Yes. So, you might have a personal preference.
If that was at the bottom of a dress, you might want it kind of stiff for some reason.
Who knows?
Right.
But then I think I do a 3 or 4, something longer, and I get the pokies.
You got the pokies. And it did. It just didn't look nice. It wasn't finished nice.
Now, what if I was, what could make a difference? I'm thinking about burnout velvet a lot for some reason right now. I think... when you do something like burnout velvet, where the texture of the fabric changes from chiffon to something with a pile, you might get some pokies or some variation.
You might get a little lump in there.
A little lump of bump.
It might not even be discernible, though.
That's right.
From, you know, somebody standing 3 feet away from you.
Yeah, so don't, like, obsess too much.
Right.
But, you know, just give it a test. And this can be a really great way to get to know your surger, too.
It is.
Yeah, so just test that
out
on a
scrap. You can make, like, 400 of these for Mother's Day
or
whatever.
Yes, that's very true.
Try it all out. And you know what? Okay, this is really a time when you can go to that bargain bin, okay, and find this 2-yard remnant that is like some weird pattern chiffon that maybe you would never buy, or you can't, or even a weird color that you think, what would I use this for? But you make this wrap and it's like cool.
Yeah. And if you have, we got some like hand dyed silk in the shop one time. Mm-hmm. People made them and it was just absolutely beautiful. And so the reason I bring up the Baby Lock Serger in the video is because we love them so much. But
well, yeah.
I didn't have to mess with my tensions, just messing with length.
Right.
Just to see how much coverage I want, purely for aesthetic purposes. And so this is going to be our seam, and this is going to be our finished edge.
So your finished edge and your seam are, you're using exactly the same stitch.
Okay, and then the next part, it takes longer to explain than to do.
Right.
Okay, so you have your pins placed where we told you to place them.
And this is all in this video, you guys. So if we're painting a lousy picture, like verbally, Go to the video.
No, but I watched the video and I was like, oh, there's a way to say this that is better. Now, in the video, it's pretty clear.
But you've marked, what you're saying is you've marked your neck opening.
Right. You mark your neck opening. And what you're going to do is you're going to sew between your pins.
Or your marks. Or whatever
your marks,
you've done.
Or whatever.
Maybe you've delineated your neck opening.
So you're going to put the presser foot, you know, where you've got one of those marks. Take out your pin, take out your clip or whatever, and then create a rolled edge. And you're just
And you use your blade.
That's right. You're going to sew to your other pin. So you sew between the pins. And then ZD said, you're going to use your blade. So why do you always use your blade?
Well, one reason on especially a rolled hem is because it cuts exactly the perfect distance to roll that fabric and have it encased in that stitch. So you want a nice cut. So I always take off, you know, a fair amount, like more than like what I call a skinny edge. I mean, I take off what, maybe 3/8 of an inch or something.
I don't really cut in that much.
I do.
I could.
You know what? It probably depends on the fabric too.
Yeah.
Sometimes the fabric you need to take more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't, you know, you need to make sure, what you want to make sure is you have a good cut, clean edge with that knife.
So I don't, you know, cut in the video, but if you think it's looking better, when you cut off
and
more,
you've already tested.
Right. Notch
so
that
you
in.
You would know.
Okay. So you sew between your pins and then the magic happens. Okay. So you have this, you know, 30 inches of serged fabric behind your foot, but then you also have some unserged fabric behind your foot too because you started in the middle of your fabric and you fold it in half and you bring those unfinished edges together. Okay. So you... you know, fold it back in half like you did to mark.
And you're
those,
doing
that
this
opening.
While it's on the machine.
Yeah,
so
it's
that's
on
why
the
you
machine.
Want to watch the video. You
yeah.
don't. So when you stop, you don't take your fabric out. You
that's
just
right.
bring over this other edge
yeah.
and stick it on. It's kind of a clever little deal.
Right. So then you just put them together and then you serge. And now you're serging on two layers. Ta-da.
Making a seam.
You go all the way down, you make your seam, and now you can see the shape of the garment.
Right. Now, okay? you're going, oh, I just made a scarf. All I have to do is hem it.
Ta-da! Yes. So that's why it's so easy, because you just get to do this all, you know, that seam
right.
all in one fell swoop. And then you hem your other edges. And, you know, I was trying to figure out if there was a reason to hem the short edge first or the long edge first. And you say,
I can't think of one either.
Yeah, so good.
I think I've always done like the one with the seam in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, that edge because I think, oh well, I'll take care of this because I do have to go over that little lump in the seam, and you know,
right.
That's the hard part first, and it's not even that difficult.
Yeah, so
I don't know why. It's just that's sort of the habit I've.
Yeah,
and that's how you did it too. I think.
Yeah, whichever one you want to do first, you finish that edge, cutting off a little bit, right, so
mm-hmm.
that you get your nice, perfectly calculated.
You know, I'm trying to remember, like when I started making these scarves and why, because there was a reason, and I can't remember.
Okay. So then
maybe it's so I could have a serger class.
Yeah, good idea.
Probably was, because people went to surgery class. I probably thought, oh, this is a good one.
Someone posted in the group, they're like, did you know that you can make your own fabric by serging onto water-soluble stabilizer?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's, we know. No. And they were like, oh,
you
I'm
can
not.
Make your own lace, too.
I'm like, yeah, because that sells a lot of thread, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's beautiful and
that's
fun,
right.
too.
It is, it is.
But, yes, we do know that.
People have made, like, entire garments
oh, yeah.
out of fabric like that.
No,
yes.
it's the neat, it's cool.
Well, you know, do you know you can make fabric out of, like, pull tabs?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. you can make fabric out of anything.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Like, pull tab chainmail,
right.
sort of.
I saw a fence made out of beer bottle tops, just
uh-huh.
the top of the can. It was, like, it was really cool.
Yeah,
they're
well,
all
that's
linked
a good,
together.
There you go. So,
I don't know that I want to wear them, but.
Now that you have your one end finished, you're going to finish your other end, but this is important. So this is another reason that I like the baby locks, is they make a reliable chain.
They will chain, most sergers will.
Okay.
But not reliably.
That's what
I guess what
heard.
I'm going to say.
Yes.
They should, but they don't always, I
yeah.
guess. So when we say chain off,
mm-hmm.
you know, the machine will chain off and it will maintain that chain. And some sergers just tend to, like, lose the chain for some reason. I think it's they just can't form the stitch without the fabric there, I guess.
Well, and the baby lock has some special stitch fingers that make that
oh,
possible.
Oh, yeah. It's all
stuff.
About its stitch fingers and all
now,
that.
Now, this
yeah.
is not true for the cover stitch, okay? So we're talking about overlocking,
right.
not for cover stitching.
No, we're just talking about a serger.
And then that's another thing people do is they will create their own yarn with
or
the serger.
A rope across the entire
yes.
length of your store.
Yep. That's right. So what you have to do, though, when you decide which edge you're doing first, you know, your second one, you need to chain off a little bit on your serger, leaving yourself a nice long tail that's
well,
like 6 inches long or something, right?
Right.
Okay.
You're leaving tails because at these points, you're going to use these tails.
That's right.
At the points of your hem.
So then
and you only have 2 points on your hem.
That's right. And one of the when I do my long hem second, it's the selvage edge.
Right.
Okay. And I mentioned that you can see the little pinpricks
right.
from the loom. So you may want to cut that off. I cut
right.
off like a I cut off a good
yeah,
inch.
Yeah, you did.
There.
You cut off at least
yeah.
a half inch. I couldn't see it. Yeah.
So that maybe it was only half inch.
Yeah.
So I could get rid of those.
But where you know, the pins were holding it in the loom. She cut those holes off.
Yes.
That were
so when you leave that
visible.
Nice long edge and then you go, and this is another reason to cut off so that you can enclose your previous serger stitched hem.
Right.
And this is a thing, make sure, you know, if those of you who are new to serging, when you start to cut your fabric, make sure you're sort of pushing your fabric toward the needle, toward the blade.
Yes. Don't let the presser feet push the fabric away from the blade.
Because then you'll get a cut and then not a caught
right. And it
edge.
Won't get caught, right.
And that can be a problem. So we want to catch that.
And
so
that's technique. So
yes,
you might have to practice that
mm-hmm.
a little, you know, sit around and do some corners for a
no,
while.
No, and I've missed it before, you know. And
if you miss it, you can go back and cut a little bit more off, you
that's
know.
That's exactly what I would do. Yes.
It's been done. It's been done.
So if you're now you've got your one tail and you begin stitching. So now what it looks like is you got this corner and you got
right.
the serger tail hanging off of it. Normally we don't want this,
right.
but we're going to use it. So you've created a thread that you may have clipped in the past or that would
That's
have
right.
been tucked in immediately or serged over, but you're keeping it. You get to that other end. And once again, even when you're coming off of that hem, make sure that you catch that corner because there is time and space between when the fabric gets cut and when it gets overlocked.
Right.
So just make sure you're doing that.
So if you have left a tail
uh-huh.
from before, what you can do is you can sort of hold that tail and bring it under that presser foot. Do you know what I'm
yeah,
saying? That
yeah.
helps you hold that fabric.
Uh-huh.
You know, up close to the knife.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right.
So you're serging off
right.
and then, okay, don't cut your tail close to
okay.
your fabric.
No. No, we want you to have like 5 or 6 inches on each corner here, okay, of this
yes.
crocheted tail.
But I've seen people, they're like, oh, this is so cool. I'm making a scarf. And then they'll just by
right.
habit cut close
cut
to the
now,
fabric.
Now, if you do cut it, there's a workaround
sure.
always, but it's nice to have this.
Yes, so you got that tail. So like you've made your scarf and it's hemmed. Ta-da. And then something that we like to do is use those tails and we put beads on them. And in my video that I made, I use these kind of wimpy little beads.
Oh my gosh. Like, so wimpy. I had no idea there were wimpies on here.
This was an impromptu video. I think it's a pretty good video for being so impromptu. But we, on like a serger scarf that you'd made years before, there's like this gigantic Swarovski crystal.
Well, and that's more appropriate. And I like them for weight.
Yes.
Okay.
Weight.
And can use a charm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what? So they help the drape of it, basically.
Yeah. Or
they also even help you sort of negotiate the geography of the scarf.
Yeah.
When you're putting it on. Like, oh, here's the ends that, you know.
I want it to be here or there.
So I would usually use like a small sort of, not a seed bead. It would be bigger than that.
I use seed beads. I used wimpy
seed beads. Okay. But I might start with a seed bead, then put a big, you know, hunky crystal something on it, you know, and then maybe another seed bead as my anchor bead before I go back up through. But the one thing about this is we know we want to test to make sure that our needle will go through the hole
in the bead. Yeah.
Right? And, you know, with the thread on it and all that. So you will need to test that. So you can't use too small of a bead because the bore of the hole will not be big enough to let a needle pass through. Now, the other thing is you can't really use, like, a beading needle because the eye of it won't be big enough
for
the serger chain. So you need to like think about all that stuff.
Well, and your serger chain, you know, so it's, you know, it's three threads put together,
right?
So you can clip that, kind of flatten it out, and it'll go through a pretty small
needle. And exactly what you said though is you can flatten it out.
Yeah.
So you flatten it out. I flatten it out kind of first with my hand,
and then clip it
on an angle,
mm-hmm.
like a 45-degree angle, so I can like, you know, put it through the eye.
Coax
usually.
It through the needle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a point to go through the eye.
Absolutely. And that's another reason to use, like, the embroidery thread.
Right.
It keeps that whole tail really nice and lightweight. And so, did you know, I just shared an article in the newsletter, in the Love Note, and it was the V&A had done x-rays of Balenciaga garments, and it showed, like, I guess some people thought that there were no corsets in these gowns or something, and it shows boning. You know, it shows steel boning in there, and then also, like, a lot of weights are used to ensure that the garment would drape in the way that the designer wanted it. Yes,
right,
because, you know, if you just drape your fabric, it might not have enough weight to actually hang in the way that you want it.
Right.
You know, so there are things, you know, dress weights, or people will talk about
sewing
pennies into things,
right?
Or something.
Coins, you know, you can buy. Okay, you can go and you can also buy like drapery weights.
Yeah,
and I've done where I've gone to go buy the drapery weights, and the drapery weights cost more than the money. Like I might
than
as well
penny,
just sew the
yeah.
penny in. another thing are small chains.
Okay, yeah, chains.
We have a roll of that gold chain. That how many hems have I used that in? Like a million.
Now I probably wouldn't use it on this garment.
No.
But you know,
I don't think so. Well,
I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
Hey,
I don't know what you guys got hanging around, but
what if somebody did like sew like chain on the end of it? That would be cool.
It would
like,
be pretty.
That could be
it could
fun.
Be pretty. Yeah.
And they use those in like the Chanel jackets,
right?
Chains
to
weight
that.
Chanel.
And you know, I use those little chains like on the back of the jacket to hang it up. You know,
yeah.
to make a hanger. That
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But so yes, and you know, make it your own. Do not use the peony beads Mallory used.
Yeah.
They're ridiculously
ZD peony. And I were
I was
re-watching
like,
what
the video
is this? Just to make sure we like included everything and stuff, you know, in this
now, if you're
podcast,
making your Christmas Santa Claus thing with your Malibu on it.
Malibu.
Your Marabou on it, right? Your red chiffon. You can put jingle bells on it.
Oh, like I just picturing like some white Christmas action or something like that.
That's right.
If someone makes like a red chiffon, one of these with
Santa
white
baby.
With white Malibu on it. Love to see that.
Gosh, I'm going to be saying Malibu the rest of my life now.
So
Marabou, Barbie, and Malibu feathers.
This is a great project to do with like a friend too, or like
this
you,
is a good
you know,
child's project.
Yeah,
too.
A good kids project to make gifts. But I know some people like they like to sew with other people and kind of do like projects together.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
this would be really cute.
Well,
that.
I think we gave it as a class one time right before Mother's Day.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Mother's Day. And then I think everybody wanted it again. So we kind of did one and we made it and called it, you know, something like the shawl cover up. And remember when I made you that cover up? It wasn't this, but it was out of that open weave fabric. And a lot of people made a swimsuit cover up
using this
out of like that open netting stuff. You know, it's not really lace. I don't know what it's just open weave.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like netting. Yeah, I mean, it was like laser cut or something like that. So this really though gives you a good place to start messing around with your serger and the rolled edge settings and stuff too. That's kind of safe to play around with.
Well, and it's fun, and you finish it, and you know you can be real proud, and
you know if you don't have a serger. You know, you can finish the edges and seam it together and get this look, too.
Absolutely. You know, you can look at the principle of how it's done.
Right.
And you know, come up with your version. Should not be a problem at all. I would do probably like a tiny hem.
Yeah. And then I think I used that one as a nursing cover-up. You know, sometimes it was really just easy. And using something sheer as a nursing cover-up, like... No one can really see
anything. No one sees it, but you can tell what you're doing.
That's right. And it's nice and breathable, so that can be good. That can be nice. Well, thank you all so much for listening. You can find us on Instagram. We are at SoHereCom. And you can email me at Mallory@SoHere.com. Take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SoHere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.